3, 2, 1, the Ringmaker.
Boom! And we are on. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another exciting episode of The Renegade Show. And today we have our first duo on the pod. And this is going to be an extremely interesting episode because these folks here are solving a problem that, frankly, is close to my heart because it has to deal with convenience and food. But more importantly, it's actually a problem that has been acutely in the media, which is really contactless service. So I'm happy to bring on the pod, Brett and Kevin. Welcome to the pod, guys.
Good morning, Calvin. Thank you for having us.
Good to be here. Thank you so much.
Great. So why don't we start with you, Kevin, and maybe you can just give us some background about yourself and how you came into this industry that you're in.
Sure. So my background is in the heavy civil construction industry. I've been in construction ever since I was a teenager, basically. So in 2009, after the recession hit the U.S., I decided to go back to school and not only continue my education, but I switched gears a little bit from civil engineering to business degrees. I carried on with a second bachelor's in organizational management, and then did my MBA with the Ford School of Business, and completed my last round of education, acquiring my PhD in organizational leadership and development with a specialization in entrepreneurship and innovation. And it kind of led me into the space that I'm in today, still in the construction industry. However, I had a desire to help solve some problems. And one of them was just getting your coffee in the morning. And so basically, prior to COVID-19, I came up with this innovation to solve the bottleneck issue that most drive-throughs and QSRs have. And so I continued designing and implementing and coming up with a way to create multiple delivery points for the drive-thru. Mm-hmm. And then Brett saw what I was doing, came on board, helped redirect me, repivot to be a little bit more concise and focused. And then COVID-19 hit. And then we saw what we had was actually a solution to what was happening in the industry.
Talk about a product market timing. It couldn't be a better time. And so, Brett, tell us about yourself and how you came about helping Kevin pivot and what you bring to. Is it Humdinner?
That's right. Yeah,
the corporation. And Kevin, you're the CEO and founder, correct?
That is correct.
Brett, over to you.
Yeah. So I'm a Silicon Valley native. Grew up in California when it was just really starting to get busy. As a child of the late 60s, growing up in the 70s, my family knew many of the people that would become eventually leaders in the industry, which gave me a really unusual and unique view into the tech industry in particular. So I had access to all of these people that were CEOs and marketers and developers, lots of engineers in our circle of friends. And so it was a mindset I grew up with. And as I went into my professional world, I was able to utilize a lot of the things that I was taught firsthand and from watching some of these individuals. And so my entire approach to business, but also to marketing, I'm the CMO of Humdinner. So my focus is always going to be on the marketing side, but my approach to that is always based on customer experience. And it's because of the experience I had with Steve Jobs early on. He and I had a unique relationship, and I was actually mentored by him for a number of years. And the one huge takeaway from him was that everything is about customer experience. Really, if you boil down anything that you see that Steve Jobs worked on, it's actually all about customer experience. So that's been my focus in everything I've done, no matter what industry I've worked in. And I already had my hands full as the CMO for a company called the Intelligence Factory, which is an artificial intelligence company, and was already working on that. And I came across what Kevin was doing and immediately saw that he had a solution that was not only going to help the restaurants with their revenue, but was going to solve a huge problem that every single person who's ever gone through a drive-thru has experienced. It's a pain, and nobody likes having to wait, especially Americans, but nobody likes having to wait. And when you end up in a line and you see people in front of you are getting bag after bag after bag of food, and all you want is a coffee or a soda or something like that, it's incredibly frustrating. Or you get through the line and then they tell you to pull ahead and park in a spot and they'll run out the food to you and you're just watching time ticking by. And it's not a good experience as a customer. And with the emergence of COVID, it just shook up all of the models that existed for restaurants in particular, but also for retail. And I mean, it only takes a few minutes outside of your house to see just how much COVID has really changed the world. Right now, if you look around the entire world, but even just in North America, in the last 2 weeks alone, over 100,000 restaurants were closed permanently in North America. They're gone. And that was just the last 2 weeks. They've been suffering and closing throughout this whole entire pandemic. And those restaurants that are open, they're relying on their drive-through, or they're also attempting curbside pickup and for some delivery. But all of these routes, while they're helping the restaurants survive, all these methods of staying open are putting the employees and the customers at risk for contracting COVID. And although you'll hear them saying, some of them say they have contactless curbside pickup, the reality is nobody does yet. Mm-hmm. And so the business that we had pivoted to become Hum Dinner, and then again, focused it even tighter with the emergence of COVID, we created a scalable long-term solution for restaurants and retail. We completely reimagined the entire drive-through process, the ordering, payment, and pickup as both a drive-through and a curbside pickup point, and it's real contactless service, completely touch-free, and that protects the customers and the employees.
So Kevin, there are several innovations that are happening here. I think there's innovation around what you saw from the construction and engineering background. I want to understand that. And then Brad, later we can kind of pivot to, there's this idea of every business becoming a digital business. Now, sure. Restaurants business is a very brick and mortar, atom-based business, but you're going to kind of bring the best of Silicon Valley to a very traditional business. And then on a macro basis, I want to ask the both of you, what in God's good earth are you guys thinking, you know, tackling a market that has a big total addressable market, but right now is being destroyed pretty much, as you mentioned. So over to you, Kevin, and then Brad, and then I want to get your take in why entrepreneurs like you guys think you can attack a big market that is very quickly disseminating because of COVID. So over to you, Kevin.
Well, thank you. It's a problem that's going to be worldwide, and it's going to lead to more and more destruction of not just the restaurant industry, and you're not going to, you know, not only lose your favorite restaurant, it's going to destroy lives, not just with contracting the virus. People are losing jobs. It's the server in the restaurant, it's the restaurant owner, it's the supplier chain, and it's a ripple effect. It's going to affect everything. And prior to COVID, I was just looking at the business aspect of increasing revenue for a single location, what it costs to build an entire QSR, 1.4 to 1.6 million for the facility, and that doesn't include the land.
And QSR is what?
Oh, sorry, quick service restaurant.
Okay, so like the Wendy's and Taco Bell's and the Chipotle's of the world, right?
Yes, yes. And you even have some fast casual restaurants that we'll call it a hybrid between a regular restaurant and a quick service restaurant. They just allow a little bit more seating, and they also had a drive-through. Mm-hmm. So that industry, 75% of their revenue came through the drive-through. So if I could take the same facility and increase their revenue by 2 to 3-fold, because that's where they garner most of it at the drive-through, it was kind of a no-brainer for the minimal cost to add these extra lanes without having the high overhead capital expenditure that you'd have to have a whole nother building to gain another 75% of the market. So when you look at that aspect, that was it. Then COVID-19 hit, and it took Brett and I embarrassingly enough while to see what was starting to happen to the industry. And then we said, we actually have a solution. You know, these guys don't have to be closing their doors. With my background in construction, I realized that UV lighting is used in many industries, such as hospital theaters and the wastewater and water industry for disinfecting different tools and items. And I said, I just equipped our system with the UV lighting. That adds a layer of protection to protect any services or any containers that may be in contact with somebody within the restaurant and from outside the restaurant. So once they put the container of food or product in the system, the door will close. A UV light comes on as it travels over to the consumer. And if by accident the consumer touches a surface, the tray or whatever it may be inside the carrying unit, the minute the door closes, it gets disinfected on the way back to the restaurant. And there's also a negative pressure system with inside the unit, so it keeps any airborne particles from having to be transferred as well.
So that's the engineering innovation that you're bringing to the table to kind of drive through the drive-through so that you effectively have an end-to-end, some people call it the encrypted system, but protected system. That's one of the innovations you're bringing. Okay.
Yes, and with Brett's participation with the intelligence factory, we said, let's take this a step further. Mm-hmm. If we're going to redesign the drive-through with touchless, because even though there are some systems out there that are existing that can integrate with ours, which makes it very modular and very versatile and utilitarian, we can offer the next level of, we'll call it innovation in regards to what's happening with technology. And so we came up with a touchless kiosk that you can use gesture, voice, and I'm going to let Brett go into it a little bit further, but he's basically coined it as menutainment, which is going to be something pretty thrilling.
Before we move over to Brett, Kevin, I want to ask you a question. So restaurant business is a tight margins, competitive, prone with overhead. Now, you in the turn through COVID, we've got a lot of delivery services popping up. A lot of restaurants were having to turn to these delivery services. But what I understand from a lot of restaurant owners is that the interest rate or the fees that are being charged is astronomical.
Oh, it is.
So, So talk to me about how this solution compares against the delivery services that some of the folks have to go with, right?
Well, again, you know, delivery to your home is convenience. Even with a pandemic, people want to get back to some type of normal. So we need to get back outside. We need to get back out moving around. If you're traveling to go see family at some point or another, or you have to go out and get your groceries or you're at work, sometimes you want to have that convenience and luxury of being able to go to a restaurant and eat. And for the restaurant owners, yes, that's a huge chunk. They've taken 30% of their profits to have delivery, but they don't need that. They can go back to their traditional model of the drive-through, but it's a modified version. So as a restaurant owner, when I look and I see, even prior to COVID, these long lines at my drive-through, that's great. That means I've got business coming in, but how much business is driving by because they're frustrated because of the lineup? You know, the average person in the construction industry has a half an hour for lunch. They don't have time to set 10, 15 minutes to get their order because there's a long lineup, or find a restaurant that they can actually get in the line. So as an economical aspect, it costs, you know, a certain amount to build a restaurant, to buy the land, and to staff the restaurant. Mm-hmm. If you can have double the output with the same staff in one location, that's a huge boost in revenue for a business that operates marginally. So
interesting.
To me, it's kind of a no-brainer, but there's other aspects to our system. It's not just the QRS industry. We've also focused in on retail industry. There's been a shift and change. I feel bad for Amazon. They had a brilliant idea prior to COVID, which was the convenience store that was unmanned, the manless, where you walked in and picked and paid automatically. You can't have that in COVID-19 because there's no way to keep the surfaces disinfected. So we've applied this system to a futuristic grocery store where you'll have multiple, up to 6, 7, 8 lanes where you can go and pick up your groceries. And because the system is able to carry up to 500 pounds.
Interesting. So Brett, talk to us about the digital and the data and AI innovation that you're bringing to the system.
Sure, absolutely. A big part of this was determining that there was going to be a problem. When we were looking at doing drive-through with this system where you're not actually in contact with people, I recognized that restaurants were going to be unhappy with the idea of losing that personal contact, and that would be a serious problem. And that's the reason we really looked at doing the menu as well, because current menu systems, that's contactless. Now, payment and pickup is not, but menu ordering, you're not touching anything as it is. It's a kind of a broken system because there's a lot of audio problems, and they've tried to fix that. And McDonald's has done a lot of experiments with things like using AI to track customers. They kind of fumbled it because the way they did it, they didn't let customers know it was happening. And so when people would come back to the restaurant that they had ordered from, it would ask them if they wanted something that they had last time. And they didn't give the customers the option to opt in or out, and it kind of freaked people out a little bit. This is not that same use of technology. In fact, like Kevin alluded to, it's completely changing the entire way that people interact with restaurants. Because if you're taking away that face-to-face, you've got to replace it with something that's personal. And so what we've done is we've come up with a way to make the menu and the ordering process fun and unique. And it actually, the menu itself will actually interact with you and turn this drive-thru, as well as an app-based ordering system, because you can translate it to online as well. It turns it into a fun, engaging, entertaining process. And that's why we're calling it Menutainment, because you'll actually be interacting with characters that are on this menu, and they will be able to speak your natural language. You can be speaking in whatever your native tongue might be. There's going to be a limit, obviously, to some languages, but absolutely all the majors. And if we were to deploy into another country, we could very easily pick up their languages as well. But the concept of going up to a drive-through and just speaking your natural tongue and having the person on the other side understand hasn't existed. Likewise, we're looking at using gesture-based ordering, being able to use American Sign Language at the drive-through. That's a area where nobody's had that. Currently, the way they do it is you would have to drive up to the payment window, and they would usually kind of yell at you because you didn't stop at the order window. And then you would have to point to a card that would have the menu items on it. And it's I've been told it's demeaning for those who have hearing impairment, and they don't like it. And so they have largely avoided drive-through. This opens up that avenue for them and makes it so that they can interact directly with the menu, and the menu can communicate back to them in ways that they'll appreciate and be able to understand. Likewise,
Brad, you brought up something really interesting. I never really thought about the impact of social distancing, contactless services, and how it would affect people with disabilities. And this is an area that I believe is underreported and underlooked, because the conditions of the environment now has, as it was already, accessibility was already an issue. Yes. Now it's exasperated. Talk to us about how did you think about this constituent of a user base, although you're thinking for the majority, why people with disabilities, and then how did you put yourself in their shoes? Let's talk about that.
Well, I guess the best way to put it is I'm kind of wired a little differently. The way I think is a little different. And this goes back, I met Steve Jobs when I was in grade school. Mm-hmm. Apple had actually gone into our classroom. It was an experimental class in the state of California where they had kids with a certain IQ of a certain amount and above. Thankfully, the kids didn't know that, but they used the room as an experiment for the state of California's educational process. And Apple got involved early, in fact, well before their IPO. So they were dealing with very small budgets themselves. And they were using the classroom as a research platform for what became the thing that kept them alive for many years, which was their education market. Mm-hmm. And Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak were in our classroom sometimes daily. Wozniak actually taught us all how to program, and they divided the room up into skill sets of kids that had different abilities based on what the teacher had gathered. And then they had people come in and work with each group. And I was in this small group of people that Steve Jobs wanted to work with. And he called it the creative group, but ultimately he actually pulled my parents into a parent-teacher conference. I thought I was in trouble. As it turned out, he wanted to ask permission to keep in touch with me and basically mentor me, because he identified me as what he was calling a marketing phenom. And at the time, I had no idea what he was talking about. I don't think my parents did either, frankly, but it's the way I've always thought. When I look at anything, I look at it from a usability standpoint and look at it from a customer perspective, and it's just what comes natural for me. So when I saw what Kevin had built, what he had created back before it was called Hum Dinner, I realized, again, this wasn't just a solution for the restaurants, but this was going to be an opportunity to make things right with the customers. And you think about the entire process, you think about what is it like for each person. And in that process, you think about things like race and gender and accents and language and you know, when you talk about language, you start thinking about people that have disabilities. And there are people that have physical disabilities, and there may be some areas where this can be expanded further into serving them in new ways as well. Mm-hmm. Part of what we're doing with the menu is it's all AI driven, and it will be utilizing machine learning to learn about the customers. And just like we will be learning about how the customers use it by managing this, every single location will get to learn about their particular customer base. And if you go out to a larger scale, like a city, the chain will be able to see how all their restaurant locations are performing and look at it nationally or globally and be able to see trends that currently they're not able to grab.
I think you're also, if I hear you correctly, you're also building customer intimacy between the franchise holder and the customer. They're no longer a number on the receipt.
That's exactly right. Yes, that's exactly right. Because we really kind of lost that. The drive-through has been great because you do see people's faces and talk and you have that little connection. But the cycle, the employment cycle is a revolving door because they don't tend to pay well. So the best people don't tend to stay. And there's been issues with that. And consumers have struggled to maintain that connection with that brand, whatever the brand is. And they've certainly tried to do things with personality with McDonald's, with the clown, and various restaurants have their own thing. Wendy's had the girl. All these brands tried to personify themselves. And in many ways, it failed because it was adding a personality when they already had people. And really, all they had to do was interact with their people with a different way. What's happened now, when you've got a generation of people that woke up with cell phones in their hands or born with cell phones in their hands, people are used to interacting electronically now, and being able to provide a human touch, a human contact in that is rare. And this would be AI driven, but we're not going to try and make it look like a human is sitting there talking to you, because it's just, you know, not only the uncanny valley side of things, but it just doesn't feel right. So we're going with characters that the restaurant or the grocery, whatever chain, whatever brand it is, identifies with. And even that can be changed up. There's no reason why there's limitations. A person could say, I want to talk to Yoda. And if they really wanted to, I mean, it's not impossible to be able to do things like that to create.
You're introducing avatars for the QSRs. Yeah. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Making it so you're actually engaging, not just ordering, making it so you're interaction with the restaurant is so engaging that if you think about like when Siri and Alexa first came out, people would ask it a question multiple times because the answers might be different and you want to see all the different possible answers. This will have that same effect in the sense that it's going to be very intuitive and very friendly and even have the ability to utilize a sense of humor depending on how the person is acting. There's no reason why these types of nuances can't be picked up on. And if a person drives up to the window and they're having a rough day, it's going to respond accordingly and keep things quick and easy. And if someone is coming up and they've got a huge smile on their face and they're chatty, it will interact with them accordingly. And so there's a lot of things we can do. You look at how Twitter is being used by a lot of major brands. And funny enough, QSR, fast food, is one of the areas where you've seen it, with Wendy's using the trash can thing with McDonald's and Burger King. Some of the things they've done, a lot of interaction on Twitter has been what would previously be unheard of and unthinkable because it's irrelevant, and it's new. And brands have a hard time confronting those types of social changes. And so the drive-through right now has just been this static window. It used to be a board that someone would come out and change letters on, kind of like the movie marquees. And then I remember McDonald's for a while, they would have to come out and turn the menu around to show their lunch menu versus their breakfast menu. Now it's just video screens and it's polished and it's nice. And you're talking with someone, but usually they don't hear what you're saying the right way the first time. So you're like, I want to get a soda or a coffee. And they say, all right, no problem. 3 orders of fries. And everyone's experienced that. And it's no fun. And not only that, you feel almost like you're being funneled through like a number. Like you said, you don't feel that personal connection. Even when you see them face to face, they're like, you know, here's your total and here's your food. And sometimes they'll smile and say something nice. And those are great experiences, but unfortunately they're rare. and the people that provide those experiences don't tend to stay in the industry. The turnover rate is so big. So all these things, you need that stability in a brand. You need the ability to make it so people can identify you, and not only that, but identify themselves within you. And it goes pretty deep into marketing stuff there. But when I saw the concept, I realized we had an opportunity to change up how the whole process is being done. Since we're, you know, reimagining this anyway, let's get it right.
Kevin, I asked the question earlier, right? How, as an entrepreneur, I would call it crazy to go after a market that's right now being destroyed simply because of the way Corona has taken it. And yet it has a lot of opportunity. So how are you reconciling this, shrinking market in the sense that a lot of restaurants are not being able to survive versus going after this market? Are you going after the restaurant owner? Are you going after the franchise owner? What's your business model? How are you thinking about the market, Kevin?
I'm going to try to bring this to as many people as I can, let them know what we have, give them financing options. This is, like I said, it's such a large problem, and the effects of it have yet to be felt. And it's just getting worse and worse. Just as Brett said, in just 2 weeks, over 100,000 locations gone. That's 100,000. How many employees at locations, right? They're going to be unemployed. There's no money. There's no revenue. The suppliers get hurt. So I feel a moral obligation to help try to stem this. I have the innovation. It's there. Thankfully, I've got the Canadian government that's seeing the benefits to this and how this can help the economy, because it's not just a local economy. It's a global economy.
Yeah.
And I need to do as much as I can. Now is the time to step up. Now is the time to take action. It's not time to sit and say, oh, geez, only if we would have known. Somebody's got to do something, and I'm going to try to do my best.
You know, guys, you guys remind me of people who actually, after all, this is the Renegade Show, and it's about people who don't follow the conventional wisdom. And there's a lot of entrepreneurs who are just in it for the capitalistic perspective. And I'm really thrilled that both of you feel that you can do well and do good at the same time. One, for correcting the injustice that's being done to people with accessibility issues. And then number two, helping to build livelihoods after lives have been destroyed with COVID. So I'm really thrilled that the both of you are trying to solve this high stakes but really hard problem.
Yeah, I mean, it's a time to change. This is, you know, not just about innovation and moving forward. We're in a fast forward momentum now. Something has to be taken. Drastic steps have to be taken. You can't be afraid of change. If you're not going to change, you are going to go by the wayside, and you are going to disappear.
Yes. So as we round up this episode, what are your advice or inspiration to all the renegades out there who's looking to play a part, like just like you, wanting to not sit back and see the carnage that's happening, but play a part in this recovery of the world? What would you say to them, Kevin? Then we'll go to you, Brett.
I say keep pushing forward. I mean, don't let the old way of doing business and other people thinking that your idea isn't good enough. Now's the time for people to start embracing change, because it is happening so rapidly, and those that don't change are going to get left behind. And we need innovators now more than ever.
Brett?
Yeah, it's funny. I look at the current situation in the world. I look at how even just within the investment community, they're trying to grapple with how to handle this. Education, they're trying to figure out how do we get to teach our kids in a way that's meaningful, but without killing everyone. It's these types of huge problems that we're all trying to tackle and solve right now. And there are answers out there. There's people sitting in their homes right now that have ideas and they have visions for things, and they might not know how to get it out there and get the word out and meet the right people. But LinkedIn's a great tool to use for that. That's how I met Kevin. Just tell your story. Tell people what you're thinking. Don't be afraid of protecting your idea. Yeah, people could theoretically steal it, but really this is about saving people. This is about world change. I remember Steve Jobs had a famous quote that he used when he was recruiting the former CEO of Pepsi to become the CEO of Apple, which turned out to be what it was. But regardless, the thing he said to him was, do you want to sell sugar water forever, or do you want to change the world? But it applies to what's going on right now. We can just do business as usual, and companies can seek profit and focus on those types of things, or they can step back and say, okay, look, everything has changed. We needed to find a way not only to survive as a company, but for our employees to thrive right now, and also for our countries. And to do that, they have to be able to take a look at change. It's digital transformation. It's the fourth industrial revolution, these buzzwords that are being thrown around. But Kevin nailed it. This is the time where if you don't change, if you're not willing to or be open to change, then you will fall by the wayside. Someone will disrupt you, and not necessarily for bad reasons. They might just come up with a better way to do the same thing you're doing. So look at what you're doing and ask yourself, is there some better way? And especially with COVID, is there a way that this could benefit everybody?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I guess you guys are looking for innovators to join you. You're looking for investors to come on board and help drive this mission around. How can they get in touch with you guys?
Probably the easiest way is through our website, which is humdinner.com. But we're also on LinkedIn, of course. And you can just search for us, or I don't know if you have links that you'll put up on the.
Yes, I will. Site, so I'll put in some contact information on the show notes. Kevin, Brad, thank you so much for coming on the pod and telling your story, and really an inspiration to see that you're trying to help to rebuild this world one QSR, one meal at a time.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate your time and helping us get the word out.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Calvin. It's really been fun, and appreciate it.
Till then, next episode. Bye-bye.